You're listening to the Chancellor Pink Podcast on Chancellor Pink Radio.
I already did a podcast a while back on the friend zone, but I'm not quite sure what I said on it or what angle I took, and you're welcome to go back and re-listen if you'd like to. I do remember it was one of my more popular episodes. I was being kind of funny then and had a lot of sort of upbeat takes on male and female relationships, and things have changed a little bit recently. Finding it a little bit harder to be in positive spirits in 2019. Although I think I made that podcast this year, but anyway, it's been a rough year. We're into November. Things change. But I wanted to revisit the concept of friendship between men and women briefly, and I promise this will be short because I don't want to repeat myself. I've covered this topic very well. If you're interested in it, again, go back to the podcast about the friend zone. I think it's pretty well put out there. It's well put out there. I think it's pretty well addressed in that podcast. But I just had this one particular thought, and I wanted to share it. And it's probably in that podcast, but it is the changing times and friendship between men and women. It used to be completely understood and accepted by women that if a guy and a girl were friends, they got along as friends, and one of the two, either one, caught feelings for the other that were not reciprocated, and they shared that fact, it would make things awkward and effectively ruin the friendship. Now, no one wants that to happen. I mean, the person who doesn't reciprocate the feelings would love it if the other person could somehow bury those feelings and still maintain the friendship they really enjoy. But they never expected that because they knew it was unfair and basically impossible. I mean, if you're asking the other person who already told you they really care about you in a loving way, in a more than a platonic way, if you're asking them to go forward with you and bury that fact, it's going to make for an awkward situation. You should feel awkward. If the person who is loved, who doesn't reciprocate romantic feelings the same way back, I think, you know, it used to be understood that it would be awkward to be with that person as friends all the time, knowing that they really wanted more from you and knowing that you don't want to give them more. It just sets up an imbalance in the relationship that isn't comfortable anymore. So it used to be completely understood and accepted. When two people were friends, it's like, and the one was feeling something, but they didn't want to say it because they knew it would potentially ruin the friendship. And they were terrified if they said it and it wasn't reciprocated. They knew it would be like a big thud, and that would be that. So they would keep it to themselves and keep hoping and praying and reading the signs. And basically they would try to look for how that other person responded to them, acted. Do they like me? You know, is it safe? Is it safe to tell them I'm having these feelings that are more than just friendship? And until they felt like it was safe, they kept it to themselves. And eventually sometimes what you learn is it's not reciprocated. You learn it without saying anything. Other times you wonder, did I hold on to it too long and lose them? Did I have a chance? But then they found someone else because I just was too afraid. But the point is, regardless of whether or not the one person would tell the other and have the courage to actually take a chance, the bottom line is when friendship is not reciprocated as love, as romantic interest, it ends. Okay. That was an understanding. Now, it doesn't always have to end completely. It could just change distance, space, and then you try it again later when the person finds someone else they love. For example, if I was in love with a girl and, you know, we were friends and I didn't want to tell her, I was afraid, but then I got up the courage and then she just didn't feel the same way. she would understand that I would break off the friendship, and we would. And then I would find someone else I loved, and I would be comfortable in a relationship. And then maybe I'd run into her, and maybe we could be friends then, because now she has her man or love interest, or maybe she doesn't, but whoever she's interested in, not me. And I have someone now who's distracting, or, you know, I'm able to focus on. So maybe then friendship can happen. Instead of it where I'm single and wanting someone and they don't want me, you know, and then it just sets up a terrible friendship. It just won't work, you know. Everyone knew that and understood that. Women understood it. Let me be very clear about this. Women understood that. Because, you know, that's important here in today's climate. And what I mean to say is that changing times are such that women have become incredible hog bites. Because there isn't a generally pervasive attitude now of women that somehow if a man expresses to her that he not only just doesn't want to just be friends, he loves her and he lusts for her, women today think they have a right basically to have that. And have you there as a friend for them, lusting for them and loving them. And not only that, it goes way further. If you cop an attitude when they reject you, you're a psycho stalker bad guy. And more importantly, you are creepy and bad all of a sudden. The love and the lust that they welcomed, even encouraged, when they thought that you'd be fine just sharing it with them unreciprocated, suddenly becomes terrifying and awful and, you know, despicable of you to have those feelings when they don't share them and you're not okay with that. And this is a common theme in our culture between all men and women today. This isn't me talking about my personal experiences. This is me talking about every single, lots of personal experiences that I have been privy to, that I've been experienced with for 20 years, but especially in the last 10 years or so. Our culture has shifted, and women think it's about the patriarch and shooting down the patriarch and women getting empowered and empowerment. But look, there's a difference between the empowerment of anybody in anything and the abuse of someone else. You are not empowered when you are taking advantage of someone else. You are being abusive. You are not empowered when you're taking money, love, and desire from someone and giving them bupkis back. You are being abusive and you are being immoral and you're just a bad person. And it used to be 10 years ago, and all of my life prior to that, that women understood this fact. That if a man that they were friends with, that they liked, wanted more from them than friendship, and let them know that, that if they then were to stay in a close relationship with that person, despite the fact that they had no interest in that person beyond friendship, that that would be wrong. I mean, the only way it wouldn't be wrong is if the other person was willing to subject themselves to that kind of pain and torment. If the other person says, it's okay, I'll just go on lusting for you and desiring you and loving you, and it's perfectly fine that you just see me as your dickless brother. That's okay. Let's still be as intimate and close as we ever were. If that person wants to be that kind of an idiot and subject himself to that kind of pain, okay, I'm not blaming a woman who says, hey, man, you know, it's his choice. That's different. I'm talking about the women who say, what? You won't be my friend anymore? Because I rejected you romantically? You're disgusting. You're a creepy pervert pig. You're a stalker. You're, you know, they all of a sudden you become this horrible person because you just can't deal with continuing a friendship with someone who's not interested in you romantically when you are. And that never used to even be an issue, a thought. Like I said, it was understood on both sides that unreciprocated love in the middle of a relationship that otherwise was friendly ruined the friendship. The friendship was kaput. You used to have movies made about scenes like this where two people were friends and hang out, and then they went, I don't want to do more. I don't want to ruin what we have. Remember those scenes where a girl or a guy would say, and I mean scenes in movies. Yeah, man, because they happen. That's why they were written and acted out. I don't want to, I could kiss you. I could make love to you. We could take this further, but I don't want to ruin the friendship. Remember those scenes? What did that mean? Well, it meant because they were saying, sure, I'm drunk, I'm horny, I could fuck you, but I don't really see you that way. So if I do that, then all of a sudden I'm going to feel pressured to have more for you, and I don't. It's just a friendship. I forget the movie. There was a great scene where they do that, a friendship doesn't. And then the next day, the girl's going, oh, it was night shift, where Henry Winkler has sex with Shelley Long. And the next day, she just comes in and picks up her notes, and she's going out to work again. And he says, what are you doing? She said, what do you mean? What am I supposed to do? And he said, I just can't believe that you're not quitting. I thought we're a couple now, and you like me. I can't believe you're just going to come to work again and be a prostitute still. And she was like, oh, right, you know, I'm supposed to quit, and what am I going to do? Who's going to pay my bills? Are you going to take care of me, you know? All of a sudden, you know, she's like, would be unemployed, and he would have to, like, literally step up and commit to her. And that's a big difference than just them sleeping together. But he felt tremendously romantically inclined, and he felt her coming back to work and acting like nothing happened was an insult to his love. But the point is this. In that movie, he called her on it. And of course, it ends with her quitting as a prostitute because she loves him and they love each other. Because at the end of the day, her pretending like what happened between them isn't significant was dumb. Now, if it wasn't significant to her, then it breaks his heart. And that's what he was upset about. Are you breaking my heart? Are you telling me that when I went further with you and we had this intimacy that it didn't mean anything to you and that you'd rather just go back to this professional relationship? You know, because I thought what we had took us further. So back in the 80s when that movie was made, and every time before that, and even into the 90s, and I submit even into the early 2000s, that's the way our society worked. Namely, guys and girls could be friends, but once it went to a sexual place, you know, a decision had to be made. There was an understanding that or even if it wasn't sexual, just once one of the two parties put their feelings out there, a decision had to be made. You couldn't just go forward and pretend like that didn't happen. And you certainly couldn't demand the kind of intimate friendship you had before while rejecting the sexual or romantic interest of the other person. That would just be wrong, immoral, nasty, vile, wrong. And now flash forward to 2019, and I submit over the last 10 years or so, and women don't get that. They don't think that way. They truly act surprised or shocked and disappointed when a man who is rejected in the middle of a friendship pulls away. And also they look at it as like anger. They treat the man like he's an angry, scary guy when all he's doing is the stuff that used to be commonplace that everybody did for all of eternity until recently. It was common decency that you let the other person step away once you rejected them. You have a little common decency to understand that, you know, the intimacy and feelings that they had, yes, they were friendship-based. Yes, they were good and wholesome, but they were also tied to romance. And yes, dirty, evil sex. The kind of dirty, evil sex these women have all the time. Look, the bottom line is, why is a man villainized if he sexualizes his feelings? It used to be okay to have sexual desire for each other. Nowadays, if a nice guy who's put in a friend spot decides that, you know what, I actually lost for you and I want more, suddenly becomes this vile, creepy predator because he was supposed to be the nice guy, the friend. How dare he too, like all the other pig males, see me sexually? How dare he? And I'm reminded again of the ending of Nymphomaniac, which I thought was a brilliant ending. And I actually really did like both parts in that whole movie. And I love Lars von Trier. He's a sick fuck, but I love him. The second Nymphomaniac, to me, was better than the first of the two parts. But lots of people like the first better. But I thought the second was way more psychologically impactful. But, you know, the head nympho goes and stays with his old guy and tells through both parts her whole story of how she fucked all these guys and why and how and what a complete slut she is. And the old guy's being this nice, friendly guy, taking her in, comforting her, okay? Well, guess what? The old guy is also a horny man and a human being, and he's hearing about this slutty woman who fucks like everything that moves, and he thinks, she's pretty hot. I have a girl in my house now who fucks everything that moves. So when he leaves her and they tell their story and she's told him all his tale, you know, he gets these horny desires and he sneaks into the bedroom and he wants to try to get some. Well, she pulls out a gun and kills him and leaves. That's how the movie ends. And I think that's brilliant because that's exactly what women do. They want you to be dickless as you are their friend. But you're a man too. And if you have desires, now I don't think you should start climbing on top of them like he did. I mean, he was just trying to climb on top, thinking, hey, she's a loose slut. I can just climb on top and she'll let me slide myself in there and things will work out. You know, no, that's, you know, I don't think he deserved to be shot and killed though. See, I think he deserved to be pushed off. She could have pulled the gun on him and walked out of his place. You know, he would have let her. He was going to let her. She shot and killed him on purpose because she wanted to kill a man, because all these men that she had fucked all over her life, some of them hurt her. Okay. Some of them, including the one she really loved, played by Shia LaBeouf, she really, you know, he really hurt her when he left her for being a slut, you know. He finally left her over it, and it really crushed her. And so even the nymphomaniacs that sleep with every guy, there's a couple guys in there that they really deeply loved who crushed them. And so they have a lot of built up anger and resentment. And anyway, that we all do. We all do from the pain in our lives with the opposite gender. But when she shoots the old man at the end, it's her shooting and killing every guy that took advantage of the fact that she's a slut and likes sex and fucks anything that moves. But the point of it is not, you know, how dare you kill someone? You know, you're a slut. You never get to say no. You never get to have control of your body. That's not the point, because of course they do. Of course they do. Everybody does. Just because you might, you know, fuck a lot of guys doesn't mean you don't get to say no or to choose when you fuck them. That's common sense. But the point is this. He gets murdered because he wants her, because he was a nice old friend guy who overstepped the bounds she set for him. So when he crosses the line, he pays the wrath of every other man that came before that she did fuck, that she felt violated by. All these other men she fucked willingly, but left a lot of them with nakedness and feelings of being betrayed, and then the one she loved in particular, she felt real resentment and anger and viciousness towards. This old nice friend guy, when he crosses that line that she put him in and expresses desire for her in a way he's not entitled to, according to her, he gets shot and killed. Now, again, he's climbing on top of her. Okay, I still don't think deadly force is warranted in that situation at all, legally or otherwise, but, and that's why it's a brilliant scene, because it's talking about what's going on psychologically inside her, and it's talking about the way women are towards men. And Lars von Trier has been accused of being a misogynist. Meanwhile, he gets it. So has Woody Allen. Woody Allen has talked about as hating women, as being a pedophile, all these horrible things. Meanwhile, nobody has portrayed women better in films, besides Ingmar Bergman, but no one else but Woody Allen and Lars von Trier. Think of all the fantastic performances from women in Lars von Trier movies, whether it's Nicole Kidman in Dogville or Bjork in Strangers in the Dark of the Dancing in the Blind, Dancing with Your Feet Off. What the hell was the name of that movie? Where she's a blind girl. Dances with the Eyes Put Away. Whatever. Anyway. And the girl that's in Nymphomaniac, who's in a lot of his movies, who I forget her name right now. I'm sorry. Oh, it's Charlie Chaplin's cousin or something. No, who is it? It's a it's a French musician's daughter or something. Yeah, what's her name? Gertrude. Anyway, I'm not looking to show off my music knowledge, movie knowledge right now. I just pulled this thing out to do this podcast, so please forgive me for. And I'm not going to research it. I'm not going to look it up. I'm not going to get this shit right. Bottom line is this: you look it up. Check out the Lars von Trier movies. Check out the Woody Allen films. Lars, I don't think, has an Oscar winner to his credit, but he gets masterful, wonderful leading female performances in his movies. What is it? Kirsten Dunst. Is that it was in Magnolia? She was wonderful too in that. And Woody's won Oscars. You know, Woody's actresses, like whether it's Diane Keaton who was in Blue... Look, it's late at night. I'm very tired. But, you know, Woody Allen's movies, look him up. They all won Oscars. He gets women's performance. He writes wonderful women's characters. They win Oscars. Lars von Trier, same thing. Yeah, both of them have been accused of, you know, being lecherous pigs towards women, and Lars von Trier as a misogynist and all this shit. And the bottom line is this. They understand women, and they understand men, too. And they portray the conflicts and drama between the genders brilliantly. And I think that ending scene of Nymphomaniac is profound in the sense that I wanted to talk about, namely friendship versus lust and what it used to do and what it does now. It used to be that if an old guy or friend character expressed that he really actually wanted in a girl's pants, he was rejected nicely and he walked away. Now he's shot and killed. Okay. And so again, if you take out the climb on the top of a part, that's for the dramatic impact. The reality of what Lars von Trier was depicting there was what I'm saying, which is you were supposed to be my friend. That's all you're allowed to be. When you desire me too, I kill you. That's what he's saying. And that is and even though, no, they don't kill you, but here's what they do. If you don't accept that put back in your friend role, then they kill you emotionally. They kill you. They kill you as a person. They think you're terrible. Suddenly you are a bad guy, and all these other pigs that they're still fucking and having sexual things with who don't even like them, who aren't close with them, aren't friends, but they're giving them their bodies. They're cool. They're fine. But you, if you pull your friendship away when they don't give you your body, you're all about sex. All you think about is sex. You're a pervert. It's all about sex to you. No. It's about we had a very good friendship, but I also went further and desired you. And when you won't go there with me, yet you do other people, but even if you didn't other people, you won't go there with me. In the 80s and in the 90s, I'm allowed to say goodbye. And the woman goes, yes, that makes sense. That's fair. That's fair. That's logical. That's fair. I have to let him go and think well of him and respect him and not villainize him, and certainly not shoot and kill him. So I just wanted to make a podcast saying times have changed, haven't they? Times have certainly changed. And whether you call this the empowerment of women or whatever you want to label it to justify and rationalize it, it's not okay for anyone to expect someone they have rejected romantically and or sexually, either one, to expect that person to do anything but tell them to take a hike, okay? Once you've made it known that all you want from someone is friendship, you should expect that they will say, oh, well, goodbye then. And that should be the end of everything you've shared with that person forever. And you should expect that. And I think they should do that out of self-respect. That any time a person, I don't care how close you are and intimate you are with any friend, once your feelings go further and or sexual desires and you express that and you are rejected, you owe it to yourself to leave forever. And I think the person on the other end should expect that and respect that. But that's not what's happening from women towards men in our culture today. And I think that's a problem. I think it's worrisome. I think the rationalization and justification of all of this misandry and hatred towards men, even in situations where a friend, a close guy that they liked, is villainized because he dared lust for them or love them in a way that they wanted it to be sexual. The villainization of that in our society is a tragedy, because it's going to make men afraid to desire women as anything more than whatever the woman allows. It's going to put all relationships on an uneven playing field to the extent that people won't be honest with their feelings anymore. People won't feel comfortable sharing what their feelings are, because they will be afraid that if they do, they will be villainized and outcast, unless they play ball, which is to say, oh, okay, I've shared my feelings. You tell me I'm shot down. I have to just give you everything you want, hogbite. You want all my friendship, and I just sort of suppress my lust and romantic desires, and we go on that way. And I just think it's amazing that anyone could think they could get that from another human being. And I think it's wrong when that happens. It's bad for both people, especially the person silencing their desires and interests in some sort of pathetic way to please the other person just because they love them so much. They're restricting themselves from the opportunity to meet and fall in love with other people. They're damaging their own self-esteem and their ability to be sexual beings and romantic beings. They actually are becoming like eunuchs or dickless no-men, and thinking that's maybe their calling in life and that's okay. And it's not okay. Everybody deserves love. Everybody deserves sex. Everybody deserves romantic sexual love. Now, we don't all get it, and maybe some of us never get it or never will. Who knows? But what you owe to yourself is the ability to keep searching for it and never stop with someone who won't give it to you. Never feel guilty about leaving someone who won't give it to you. Never feel like staying with someone who won't give you that sexual romantic love you need is somehow the right thing to do, because otherwise you're a bad guy. Don't think that. It's not true. You're not a bad guy to stand up for yourself and what you need. You're not a bad guy for having lust. You're not a bad guy for wanting sexual love. You're not. And our culture that is allowing women to treat you that way is wrong. It's a bad culture and it needs to stop. And I think it's going to end badly for women too. I just don't think this is the right way to make relationships persist in our society. I don't think that making men afraid to feel sexual thoughts for women is good. I think it's bad. And I don't think that guilt tripping or somehow terrorizing or threatening men into being your friend, absent sex or absent romantic interest, I don't think that's good for the relationship, and it'll never be good. And everybody used to understand that, and they've forgotten it somehow. And everybody's trying to stick a round peg in a square hole and pretend like this crap can exist and be healthy for people. And it's just insanity as far as I'm concerned. But we'll see how it turns out. Hopefully I'll be long dead and gone by the time all this shit resolves itself. In the meantime, I just wanted to share those additional thoughts or thoughts that I probably expressed before on the whole subject. You can throw them away. You can disagree with them. You can go, yes, I hear you. I agree. Whatever you want to do with them. Regardless of what you do with them, I assure you, my friend, if only for listening to this podcast, I love you. Yabba da boopa.